Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the TRPA virtual meeting of the hearings officer for April 7th, 2022. I'll call the meeting to order now. My name is Andrew Strain, and I will be serving as the hearings officer today. Item two on today's agenda is the approval of our agenda, and I will ask the staff if we have any changes or modifications to make to the agenda today. I will note first, however, that on the sheet that is in front of us, we have public hearing items, a double lettered, so to speak. Item 5A, Peters, item 5A, again, Verizon, and then item 5B, EGOT or EGOT. And certainly the way we had our packet originally produced and distributed, we had A, B, and C in there. So I'll just note that the order of them at this moment is correct, but we'll renumber to or re-letter, so to speak, to A, B, and C. Georgine, I'm sure you can make that change for us.
Andrew, this is Marcia Birch. And we did receive a letter regarding item B. And this letter is, I just received it about 2 minutes ago. And so I haven't had a chance to evaluate the request that's being made in the letter. So I'd suggest continuing that item to the next meeting.
Thank you, Marcia. I think that's wise. I have also just received the letter and had a chance to scan it, but not read it in detail. Now, at this time, we will continue what is originally noticed, I believe, is item 5B. It's the second letter A on today's agenda that's in front of us here, 5A, Verizon, Tahoe Seasons. Oops, sorry, just lost it. Thank you. The Verizon Tahoe Seasons new telecommunications facility with the location, the address, the APN, and the TRPA file number of ERSP 2021-0808. We will continue that item while we study the information that has just literally been received in the last 10 minutes. Any other agenda changes today?
I'm sorry to interrupt you. This is Bridget Cornell, TRPA staff. Do you mean continue it just later on the agenda or continue it to a future meeting?
Go ahead, Marcia. I'm happy to answer, but please do.
Yes. I think given that, again, I've also just scanned the letter, and it is something that I believe we need to look into. So my recommendation is to continue this to the next meeting.
And Bridget, I agree with Marcia's conclusion. And at this point, unless you have another comment to make on this, we'll continue that, which originally was noticed as item 5B, but we've already kind of gone through that.
Is it appropriate for me to ask for clarification? Is it related to the comments that have come in, or was there a separate communication that I'm not aware of?
I believe it is a separate communication. And this is the first that I've seen it.
Okay.
It is in one of the pieces of information, Bridget, that you forwarded to Georgina and me just before we came on the air, so to speak.
Okay.
It might have been the last one, actually. And it contains a letter from an attorney making a specific request that is absolutely, I believe, should be reviewed by our counsel. So, any other changes to the agenda? All right, hearing none, I will approve the agenda as it has been modified to include two items, the Peters Shoreline Protective Structure and the EGOT Land Capability Challenge, which I will note has been continued from prior meetings. Let's move on to item three, public interest comments for no action. Any member of the public who wishes to address the hearings officer on any agenda item not listed as an announcement of appeal rights or as a public hearing item or on any other issue may do so at this time. However, public comments on the announcement of appeal rights or on public hearing items will be taken up at the time that those agenda items are heard. Please note that the hearings officer is prohibited by law from taking immediate action on or discussing issues raised by the public that are not listed on this agenda. And for those of you who are participating in today's meeting, that also includes the item that we just continued. So that's not one that's subject to public interest comments. Regina, will you please look for a show of hands to see if we have anyone who wishes to address the hearings officer on any non-agenda item as described?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature in the Zoom app. The hand icon is located on the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand now and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. And it looks like no hands are raised at this time, so we can continue with the review of the agenda.
Thank you, Georgina. We'll move on to agenda item 4 at this point. This is the announcement of appeal rights. I want to let everyone listening today know that any decision of the hearings officer is appealable to the TRPA Governing Board within 21 days of the hearings officer decision. The application fee and appeal application can be found on the TRPA's website. Let's move on to our public hearing items today. Item 5A is the Peters Shoreline Protective Structure located at 3220 Edgewater Drive, Tahoe Vista, California. The assessor's parcel number is 093-072-045, and the TRPA file number is ERSP2020-1782. Paul Nielsen, would you please introduce this item to us and give us a brief summary of the proposed action and your recommendation? Georgina, can you see? Do we have Paul?
I'm looking right now, and I am not seeing Paul, although it looks like we have somebody calling in.
Okay.
Let's see. Paul, if you are calling in, if you're the one calling in, it looks like you need to unmute yourself. Paul, if you're there and you have access to the chat, send me a message if needed. So it looks like we may not have Paul on the line.
Okay. Are you able, Georgina, to send him a message and ask about his availability?
I'll do that. I'll get right back to you.
Okay. Let's hold on for just a minute while Georgina checks for us.
Andrew, I've got Paul on the line. Can you hear Paul, Andrew?
I hear you loud and clear, but I'm not at the moment hearing Paul.
Okay, one moment. Paul is having technical difficulties. He's trying right now to get in. He appears to be in the meeting, but for some reason we can't hear him even though he's unmuted.
Thank you, Georgina. Yes, I can see his portrait there, or you know, his visual placeholder mm-hmm. on our screen. And it does, it looks like it's got the muted symbol showing for it, but mm-hmm. perhaps that's and not what the image is.
Right. He unmuted himself, but we still can't hear him for some reason.
Are you able to get into the
chat? Yeah, I'm getting in. So,
can you guys hear me now?
Paul, we can hear you. I think we can hear you, but it sounds like you're far away. Can you try that again?
Okay.
Are you still there, Paul? You were there.
Hello.
Hi, Paul. We can hear you. Now we can't hear you.
Coleman, can you hear me now?
Yes, yes. That's perfect.
Yep. That's very good, Paul. Yes, thank you.
Okay. I don't know what was going on. I was waiting, and this new system just obviously isn't working for me.
Well, we've got you at the moment, so let's make hay while the sun's shining.
Okay, well, this project is a shoreline revetment. It's up on the North Shore. It's at Dollar.
Uh-oh, I lost him, Georgine. I don't know about you.
Paul, we've lost you again. It looks like we've lost the connection with Paul altogether now.
Okay. In the interest of time and making use of everyone. Oh, I see him back again. Yep, he's back.
Okay, sorry. This should work now, hopefully.
Yeah, it sounded pretty clear there, Paul. Go ahead.
Okay, the phone dropped me, but I'm back on the computer. So this is, again, a revetment up on the North Shore in Edgewater. This is where those drop steeply to the lake. It's that volcanic sort of soils. Pretty steep. We're talking about 80 feet wide on the frontage here, about 15 to 17 feet tall. Project, I did conduct a site visit and I observed a slope that did have vegetation, but Quite a few void spaces, some old rocks had been eroding out of the bank that were placed sometime in the past. Didn't look heavily engineered. And at the top, there's a large stump which has degraded over time. Some white spaces where the roots, large roots, sort of went down and down the embankment. And so it is unstable. It does need to be stabilized, and it's difficult to work around the existing vegetation to get what needs to be done, which is an engineered revetment. So we worked with the applicants and the engineer. We've got a second design in front of you today. The first design included more vertical sort of aspects, if you will. And the design that's before you today does include some vertical aspects, but it's also laid back where it can be. You can't lay back the slope all the way because it would be inconsistent with the properties to the north or to the east and to the west. So with that, the design is compatible with protection of the sewer line that sort of bisects the property down at lake level. And we've got a significant landscape plan that will be installed upon completion of the project. And I think that from a visual standpoint, it will be over time as that vegetation comes in, it'll be certainly mitigated, if not an improvement over what's there today. So with that, I did not get any public comment and have no changes. So staff is recommending approval of this project today.
Thank you, Paul. And can you just highlight briefly what it is that brings this proposed project to the hearings officer?
Well, it's a special use. As a special use, it requires a special use determination that can only be made by the governing board or the hearings officer. So the special use is related to neighborhood compatibility findings, ensuring that the project won't be detrimental to the environment, to adjoining property owners, and won't represent something that is incompatible with the area. And so in the report, I've addressed all three of those special use findings. And the engineer also addressed many of those aspects in his engineering report, which confirms that you won't have any wave refraction or wave wraparound, no energy being focused to the properties to the east or the west. So this recommendation includes a recommendation to make those special use findings.
Very good. Thank you, Paul. Do we have someone representing the applicant on the meeting agenda today on the call?
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. Strain. This is Wyatt Ogilvie in representation of the Peters family, the applicant for the project.
This is Jonathan Pease. I'm the engineer for Reno Tau Geo Associates. I can answer questions too if Paul passes them on.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Wyatt. Wyatt, any comments on this proposal or on the terms and conditions associated with the staff's recommendation?
No, we've reviewed the staff summary, the summary of the issues, the special use findings, and the conditions of the draft permit, and we support the findings in the report and staff's conclusions. I guess the only one thing I would note, and I think there was a notation to the location at the start and in the agenda of the property being located in Tao Vista, California. As Paul noted, this is in Dollar Point. The property address and the assessor parcel number were included in the notice, but it noted the property is Tao Vista as opposed to Tao City. So just wanted to make that one clarification for the record.
Very good. Thank you, Wyatt. That is correct. At this point, I don't have any further questions based on the information that's in the staff report and has been presented by staff. I will open the public hearing and ask Georgina to look for a show of hands for anyone who wishes to provide public input, public comment on this item. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature in the Zoom app. The hand icon is located on the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand now and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. Okay, it looks like we have no hands raised for this item, so we can...
We're ready to continue, correct, Georgina? I lost the very end of your what you were saying.
Yes, we have no hands raised, so we can continue.
Thank you, Georgina. Seeing that we have no public comment to be offered, I will close the public hearing on item 5A and take action on the project. Based on the information that's presented in our staff report, including the findings and the rationale on which those findings are based, and that includes the required findings from Chapter 4, Chapter 21, Chapter 80, Chapter 81, Chapters 84 and 85 that are detailed out, I will make a finding of no significant environmental effect as proposed by the staff, and approved the project as proposed that are subject to the conditions that are contained in the attached draft permit. Let's move on now to item 5. It's actually 5C, the EGOT Land Capability Challenge, located at 45 East Tuscarora Road, Washoe County, Nevada. The assessor's parcel number is 123-136-02, and the TRPA file number is LCAP 2020-0422. Julie Roll, will you please introduce this project and give us some history of where we have been so far?
Sure. So this land capability challenge is looking at a parcel that was originally mapped from the original Bailey mapping in 1974 is Class 1A. And the current staff recommendation is to change it to a mix of Class 4 and Class 6. We have seen this project before twice at the hearings officer. The first time this came on the agenda, the split between Class 4 and 6 was based on a soils report that was based on the existing slope. So we had kind of split the Class 4 and Class 6 based on the existing slope. And that ended up getting continued because the applicant wanted us to look at the like historic slopes that had been modified over the years. So we, you know, did another site visit and we came back with the second meeting with a slightly different split between the Class 4 and Class 6. And that's based on what we kind of put together as the historic slopes versus existing. Again, got continued to do more work to figure out the historic slopes. So that was almost a year ago. And in the time since then, the property owners have gotten a survey done of the property, and that's one of the attachments to the staff report. And we have yet another kind of split between Class 4 and Class 6 as today's recommendation. Marcelle Municki is the TRPA soils consultant who reviewed this project, and she is with us today so she can give a little bit more information. And I'll just say we have not had any public comment on this item.
Hello, this is Marcelle, and it's kind of silent over there. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Julie. And yes, Marcelle, can you please give us some insights into what's happened since the last continuation we had?
Hi, yeah. Well, Julie did pretty good at giving a recap there about the soils and the slope and the history. There was just an additional topo map that was supplied about a month ago, maybe 23rd, which extended the slope contours outside the parcel boundary to try and capture like historic or reference locations to draw proposed natural contour lines. When I say natural, I mean natural historic slopes prior to when the house was built. And I reviewed this additional information And that is submitted in, I think it's attachment E, with slope measurements. And there still remains a small portion that was measures greater than 16% slopes. And also there are some reference large trees just north of the property boundary that show a natural slope, about 22% slope, just off the north side of the parcel. So the resulting, after reviewing the slope analysis, was what's in the hearing of class 6 of 5,959 square feet and class 4 of 2,394 square feet. I feel like this is, considering the back and forth that we've had, I feel like this is a, you know, good compromise or agreement with the, hopefully agreement with the owners for this hearing.
And Marshall, please go into a little bit of detail for us the relevance of that slope that you have calculated based on their information, I believe, that is greater than 16%, and similarly, the relevance and importance to this matter of the large trees that were found near the north edge of the property.
Right. Well, I mean, I'm maybe didn't clarify that very well, but ideally you have a natural point on the landscape that it looks undisturbed, that is, was there prior to the building of the residence. And these trees are fairly large. Like, I think they're probably more than 35 inch DBH. They're over 100, probably about 120 to 150 years old, Jeffrey pines. And the slope in that area appears to be a natural slope. It doesn't appear to be cut or filled in that area. And it's on a natural, like if you look across the landscape, there the upper parcel is sort of on a flatter kind of a terrace. And in fact, the soils indicate that there was a alluvial terrace in this zone. So it was a little flatter terrace, but then it slopes off as you head east of the, to the east portion of the parcel. And the contour lines that they drew on the south side of the parcel, unfortunately didn't find a historic slope. They, based on the Tuscarora Road slope, which is not ideal, but I did do the measurements just trying to work with them on that to see what could be defined as class 6, a less than 16% slope historically.
Georgina or Julie, can you help Georgina? We can pull up that map that Marshall is describing for us. I think we'll need to give her some detail on the packet, on the page in the packet, or the figure number.
Yeah, if anybody has the page number.
I think that's it. Oh, that's not the measurement one, but this is the one that they recently submitted. And so you can see on the contour lines on the south are going along the Tuscarora Road, and then the contour lines on the north. And you can see the two large trees there that are appear to be historic on historic landform.
And the area for which you determined we were at greater than 16% slope, generally, can you just describe where that is on this?
Yeah, there's a, on the north property line, there's like a large boulder. And the northern portion of the residence, and it kind of continues down above their 34 contour. The 34 contour here appears to kind of bulge out a little and be pushed to the east. And I don't see natural evidence of why it would, you know, have a contour. It kind of appears to go around the house a little bit more than a natural contour. Primarily it was the area on the north property of the house kind of to the middle of the parcel. There's like a triangular area that is still has measurements greater than 16% slope.
Okay. And Julie and Marshall, can you help Georgina find what is our proposed, what is the staff's recommended land capability map on this parcel? What's it look like? I think it's in our packet.
Yes, it is. Let's see. It's a few pages before this one, I think. It should be A. That's original soil, yeah.
What is this one, Marshall?
I can't see it.
Okay. It looks like it's titled, I thought I saw it, impervious coverage survey, which to me,
I believe, you know, that
land coverage verification of sorts.
Okay, this is from the soil survey report. This is the existing slope map presented by Sid Davis.
Okay.
And so, yeah, and then our first hearing was basically proposed on existing slope, as Julie had mentioned. And you can see the black dotted boundary there. So the line has been moved down quite twice now to, I don't think we have the map from the May 27th hearing, but the May 27th hearing kind of cut off from that boulder and above through the top of the residence and off kind of to the same area where the slope break is here.
Page 7, Georgina, I believe, is the proposed map. Are you able to rotate that? I'm not sure there.
Very good. That works.
Yeah, the proposed area is class 4s in the dark boundary.
Class 4 to the right of the dark boundary and yes. Class 6 to the left as we're looking at this right. North being to the top of the page.
Yep.
All right, very good. And one last question, Marshall, and then I'll ask the applicant to provide some input and remarks. Was there agreement between our soil scientists on the fact or the condition, I guess I should say, that we have an unmapped soil type going on this parcel relative to the adopted land capability maps from that early 1974 Soil Conservation Service survey?
Yes, that's correct. This soil is deeper than the Toum and the Caguin soils that were mapped. And it has alluvial like stratifications at the bottom and finer textures that just doesn't match anything that was mapped in the original soil survey or in the new soil survey.
In this area specifically?
At all, yeah, at all.
Okay, very good, that helps. And one last graphic I would like Georgina to turn to, I think it was two pages beyond where we were, and so that's gonna put it as, I believe it's in our packet as attachment E, the slope analysis. That's the one. Okay, yes, that's it. Thank you, Georgina. And Marshall, this was the working document or the tool that you used to determine where the different slope breaks exist?
Yeah, and if you notice, I didn't actually move the boundary all the way up along the north parcel because where slopes are steeper than 16% because we'd already kind of come to an agreement that we would move the boundary down in that zone. So there's still just some areas that are over 20%, 17%. This is based on their slope measurements, not existing measurements or any points on the ground. This is just analysis of what they presented.
Thank you, Marshall.
Yeah.
And do we have someone representing the applicant today?
We have quite a few people, Mr. Strain, Robert Angris, the attorney, but then Wayne Ford and Roger Lancaster, the surveyor, should be online.
Yes, yeah, so I would like to hear from one of you on your reactions and any issues concerning what the staff is proposing. And then as needed, I would ask others from your team for additional comment if we need them.
Well, I have noticed that I am not enabled by video yet by the host.
You're not alone, Mr. Angris. None of us are.
Oh, okay. And then what I'd like to do is ask for Wayne Ford or Roger Lancaster to present first, because that was our arrangement, and I do not hear them.
Wayne Ford, I'll weigh in here now if that's appropriate. Mr. Strain?
Yes, please.
Okay. This exhibit that is currently on the screen, I would ask Julie to update our latest exhibit, which was a topographical survey similar to this that Mr. Lancaster produced based on the recommended methodology from the consultant, Ms. Monarchy. Julie, do you have that to put up there?
I'm looking. Was that in the comments that you guys emailed me? Because I submitted all the comments to Andrew as, you know, public comment.
It was
the colored ones that are color blocked.
Well, there's one that's an actual survey similar to this that has the delineation line between the class 6 and class 4 slightly different. And the only reason I'm bringing that up, Mr. Strain, is that our consultant, Roger Lancaster, which he can address this, he has a cover letter that he put into the record. His methodology using the CAD program is a lot more accurate and specific, and it has certain factors in it that adjust this line in such a way that it slightly changes things, but it's very important that the consistency in that changes our coverage areas under 6 and under 4 that differ from what this hand analyzed slope method that was used here ended up creating. We want to be consistent, and being consistent means that the program that we were using that was derived from a map that was sent to us by the consultant is a program that adjusts things according to the consistencies of that computer program. And I will let Roger describe that. Our concern is that what has been done here is somewhat arbitrary in how lines are measured, and it's not corrected by the program that we were told we should use. So we want to be consistent with that. Our area is 1,713 square feet of class 4 and 6,638 square feet of class 6. That is a very reasonable adjustment considering that the original grades that I looked at out there were proven to be fairly consistent between Teresa Court and Wasu Court, put this whole site likely under 16% slope. But then, because of all this review and education of myself even, and I think Marshall, I thank her for her expertise too, that we realized that was probably not a reasonable place to be because there was a grade break and a change in land capability that took place. So now to not agree upon that, using the recommended methodology for the consultant, confuses the heck out of me, because we did exactly what she's asked us to do. And I would like Roger to take over now and kind of explain that, but I also like to have our image up there that you can see the subtle differences, but they mean a lot to us, Mr. Strain. 65 square feet doesn't seem like a lot, but when you only have 500 square feet left to work with to get the necessary safety provisions in for access on this property for a garage that's going to be 400 square feet, every foot counts. 65 square feet is very important.
Yes, I understand that, Mr. Ford. That is not what is before the hearings officer today. So that is not a subsequent action that I am allowed to, nor will I consider as part of this action.
I understand that. But the line is something that, based on the methodology we used, is very dependable on our side to be the correct line, not this line that's currently before me. So, Roger, can you explain, please, what took place in regards to how... Julie, can you pull up the other map for us, if you would, or maybe the color
map? Yes, Georgina, it's page 19. It's attachment D from the packet.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you, Georgina.
Mr. Strain, one thing, the line on here, okay, that's not the correct map. I'm sorry. Up, if you look at the northeast corner of the home where it says building, that line was adjusted to go back towards the large trees in a triangular area. So we actually agreed with the consultant to a certain degree that this line coming straight across below the home as our grade break, it needed to be adjusted slightly back. And that's where we ended up with that small triangular area, not as much as what Ms. Municki indicated, but it was somewhat more of class four, about 49 or 50 square feet down there at that corner. So, Roger?
Yeah, I'm here.
This is not the final map that we submitted to TRPA at that one area there by where the stairs come off the upper deck. There was a point at which there that we actually adjusted the line back slightly.
And which line exactly, Mr. Ford, are you describing?
The grade break is kind of a heavier dashed line. It's a heavier dashed line, and that's a grade break 34. Julie, do you have the color ones that were there that we...
The color ones are not part of the packet. They were put together as like a public comment, so I don't know if we can pull that up or not. If I'm not sure how that would work. Georgina, are we able to do that?
Where is it located?
I would have to send them to you. That was... like a public comment attached, you know, that came after the packet was published.
I don't believe we would be able to bring that up right now.
Let's ask Marcia, counsel, how we would treat that.
Yes, thank you.
So what is the item that we're trying to bring up on the screen right now?
It's our final map that we submitted to TRPA prior to this hearing being scheduled. I submitted a map, or a series of maps. They were a color overlay that showed how much were class six and how much was class four. It was also an adjustment in the grade break line that changed our final coverages to how much area was class six and class four. That was submitted to TRPA for this hearing.
It was submitted, but it was submitted after the staff report was sent in. So we have to, you know, send in our staff report and everything 2 weeks before the hearing. So anything kind of after we've submitted that is kind of...
This was submitted, Julie, much before 2 weeks ago. It was submitted over a month ago. Roger, you'd sent those to me, and I sent them on, of course, to Julie. So I don't know why they didn't get into the packet. They should have been there.
Nevertheless, it's information provided by the applicant in support of their position. Is that correct?
That's very correct, Mr. Strain.
Okay. Yes.
Roger, could you address your methodology maybe while we're looking into this?
Yeah, sure. I came out and did a survey and...
Excuse me, can you identify yourself for our record, please?
Yes, Roger Lancaster, land surveyor, licensed in Nevada, California.
Thank you.
Did the existing survey, and what I do generally is to create a map and to create the terrain model. You survey in random points, and the computer looks at those elevations and creates a digital terrain. And then it creates the contour lines based on that digital terrain. The second part of this was to try to estimate the predicted historic surface or predicted historic contour lines, which I think has been explained here. So what I did is I used the example map that was provided by the consultant and tried to match that as best I could with existing terrain on the outsides of this parcel, and produced predicted contour lines that are smoothed across the site, assuming that there was no excavation, it was before that natural grade. And then I ran through the computer to color code the areas that are between 0 and 16%, and then those that are between 16 and 30%. When I did that at first, it had lots of triangles. It reaches across to different points and makes these triangles. There was lots of triangles because it was so close to the break point between 16, 16.5, 15.5. So just by adjusting the contour lines by literally a few inches either way in certain places, I was able to get a consistent breakdown of the area that was 16% and less, and that area that was greater than 16%. And that was the color-coded maps that Wayne is referring to.
Okay. No, that's helpful. Thank you. And your effort was focused on trying to understand what may have been there previous to development of this site?
That's right. And I might say that the consultant's methodology is correct, that when you calculate slope, it's rise over run, and you take those distances and divide them and get a ratio. By using the computer, it analyzes the whole site, many, many, many reference points. And so it may provide a more accurate picture of the
overall. Yes, it does what people used to do by the longhand method.
That's exactly right.
And is the property to the north that you used in your calculations across the line there, is that a developed property?
Yes, the upper part of the property is.
Okay. And to the south of the subject property of today's hearing, does that have a development on it?
Yes, it does.
Okay. All right, very good. I appreciate that. And I know that our staffs have been out in the field with the staff representing the applicant to work on what initially came to us as part of the soils scientist's technical report accompanying the application, where the land capability, this was probably the first time we heard this item. I think they were both last spring, so to speak, before the summer season. And it had a much different recommended land capability delineation from from Mr. Davis, representing the applicant as the soil, as the consulting soil scientist. I have had the opportunity to visit this site and understand what is going on there, I believe. Well, it's it is a small piece of property with an awful lot going on it, so to speak. So it is not necessarily an easily discernible, straightforward situation that would be easily determined by the type of mapping that Mr. Lancaster is describing. But nevertheless, that was helpful information. Anything else, Mr. Ford or Mr. Angris?
Wayne, do you have any further comment?
Bob, I will defer to you. I will go back on my email search and find out when this was sent. But when Roger sent me those final documents with the color overlays and the final adjusted grade break, we're not talking about a lot here, but it does mean a lot. We're not talking about a lot in terms of the overall impacts on the environment of Lake Tahoe. In fact, it couldn't even be measured. But we are talking about a lot on the impacts of what can be used and what can't be used in terms of future design. Bob, I know you have a letter there that Mr. Strain has probably gone through and read and understands it perfectly well in regards to the history of this property. But it does concern me that one of the main components of our case in terms of why things are not quite what we can agree to today is not part of the record. And that may have been an electronic problem of getting it through. It may be a lot of reasons, but it shouldn't be the final reason that things don't get adjusted to the coverages that I've suggested are more than fair and more appropriate to be the record of the property so Mr. Eget can get on with getting the development on the property that makes it usable for him. So, Bob, I'll defer to you on this. On what do we do at this point?
Can I jump in real quick? This is Julie.
Go ahead.
So, yeah, the additional information, which, by the way, was sent to Andrew as part of the with the staff report. So he did have a chance to review that. But it was submitted to myself and Marshall on March 24th, which was the same day that the staff report was due. So we did have it, but Marshall was not able to review that to include that analysis into her staff report because of the timing.
It was the same day. I'm sorry. I thought
that's okay. Wanted to clarify. But so Andrew did receive that and he did have a chance to review it. So that's the good news.
That is correct. It was attached to Mr. Angris's memorandum to address to the TRPA staff and me and Marshall. Yes.
I do have that. A little better. Thank you.
At the end of Mr. Angris's remarks are a series of images that represent the site with contour lines of different configurations.
The last thing I can say is I've been over backwards here to try to keep my mind clear and open and fair on the whole process. And I suggest that TRPA and all the people involved have done the same thing. We're just down to a final adjustment here, Mr. Strain, on the final coverage numbers that we put forth that still seem reasonable for all of what has gone on the property over the years and speak to the fact that, I've come back to this many times before. Two lots away under Bailey, it's 30% allowable for the whole parcel. And the slopes are all the same, except there is not the grade break on that other parcel that we have on this one that occurred. And given the fact that when this parcel was disturbed, in 1932, with the roads and everything else that went in, I think everybody's tried to just work together to come up with a final line. And we're just trying to adjust to that final slight line that makes it viable for everybody, doesn't represent any additional environmental impacts whatsoever, and to me is about as correct as we can get in terms of projecting what was there prior to anything being developed on this parcel. You know, it was classified 1A. I know we've come a long ways. It's just that we need a slight adjustment here to make it what we believe is really the historic grades that were out there in 1930, prior to the roads being put in 32. That's the last I can say, Bob. I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay, well, thank you. I am encouraged that it has been determined that the hearing officer was able to see the submissions that we put in and that they were attached by Julie to what was transmitted with my memorandum. And we noted a couple days ago, which I notified Julie of, which couldn't be part of the record in a timely fashion, that Mr. Egitt had already paid mitigation fees based on the 1A classification, and that issue was not revisited after it became a balance of 4 and 6, primarily, in terms of land classification. And the only significance, or the prime significance for me as an advocate, is simply that it stands for the efforts made by the agency and complied with by the applicant to address all concerns about environmental mitigation. Now that we are dealing in a quite different context, dealing with 4 and 6, what we sought to do just to gain a crucial 60, 65 square feet for our efforts and life safety design and accommodation is to simply say, here we are. We have gone to the trouble of taking everything that Marshall gave us and then ran it through the arguably improved capabilities of a system that relies on computer computation. Now, I'm well aware that within 5 or 10 years, most of law practice will be handled by the computer. So I view it with a careful eye, but the general acceptance is that when you have software that is proven and accepted by the county, by the state, by the federal government, that we have at least slightly improved product, as Hearing Officer Strain mentioned, that in a sense codifies hand-drawn efforts. And so we submit that with all the effort that we made and what we came up with that's in front of the hearing officer and the staff, that it is eminently reasonable and appropriate to award the extra square footage, which is supported. It's minimal, but it's crucial. It's supported by the CAD program, by the presentations that are in your files. And we would ask that Mr. Egitt's application be approved with the additional square footage, and then we are able to allow this matter to go to rest and then to appropriate development with all the BMPs permanently placed on the property, with all the mitigation efforts that are required.
Anything else, Mr. Angris?
I couldn't hear you, sir.
I'm sorry. Any other remarks?
I don't believe so, unless somebody else brings something up. I think that with the confirmation that the submissions that we made, that we were searching for, and then were finally understood to be in your hands, and considerate review of those, and our arguments, and the presentation of Mr. Lancaster, that we have a record that we submit supports the extra square footage.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Angris, Mr. Ford, and Mr. Lancaster.
I just want to say thank you to everybody at TRPA, to Mr. Strain. I want to say thank you to you and everybody that's looked at this. Once again, we leave it in your good hands, Mr. Strain.
At this point, I would like to open the public hearing and ask Georgina to look for a show of hands for anyone who would like to address the hearings officer on this matter. Georgina?
Members of the public who would like to address the hearings officer may do so at this time by utilizing the hand-raising feature in the Zoom app. The hand icon is located on the bottom of your Zoom screen or by dialing *9 if you're on your phone. If you'd like to comment, please raise your hand and I will announce and unmute you, and you'll have 3 minutes to make your comments. Okay, we have no hands raised, so we can continue with this agenda item.
Thank you, Georgina. Seeing as we have no public comment on this matter, I will close the public hearing. I do want to bring it back for a question of staff and assisting again Georgina as our controller here on the screen. I would like to bring up, please, essentially the maps that we have talked about in question and then ask a question, just so we are clear. Can we please bring up Julie and Marshall and Georgina, can we please bring up the map that was included as the proposed land capability initially from the Davis report, which I believe is an attachment to our staff report or one of the appendices?
From the first hearing, I think that's the attachment F. That's at the last page, I think. Let me double check. Yeah, page 23. Is that what you're looking for, Andrew?
Yes, and please describe from the land capability boundaries, describe so we're all clear what we're seeing here.
Hi, this is Marcia. Would you like me to probably do that?
Sure, that's fine. I it doesn't matter who, as long as I want to make sure that this is clear.
Okay, this boundary was identified by Sid Davis originally based on the existing slopes of the parcel. And we conferred and agreed with him at the initial hearing.
And it was then the slopes that were translated into the land capability boundaries for the previously unnamed soil type that you described for us earlier.
Right. And actually there was a small area on the upper west side of the parcel that was class 4 that Mr. Ford had requested be class 6, and I agreed with them that it was like a kind of a parking area with a little bit of fill that was added to oversteepen that small section on the far west parcel. If you were to compare that with the soil consultants, that was the first piece that was agreed to as a altered slope.
Yes, that's right. Yes, there was, and it was related to the road prism, so to speak, with which we were presented.
Right.
Okay. And then there was, I think, another meeting, I'm not sure if it was in the field itself or a meeting over the, you know, a Zoom or similar type of venue like we are on today, where additional discussion occurred regarding this site and the slopes for it. And there was an intermediate map, I seem to remember, that came back before us that had a different slope and land capability break that was shown. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. And it came across approximately where there's kind of a kink in the northern property line, and it kind of went through the corner of the north east garage and across through the residence through the southwest corner down to meet that lobe on the south where it was already class six, so boundary.
So did the line, but on the northern half of the property, which I think is where you're describing that to begin mm-hmm. with, Marshall, mm-hmm. did the line on the northern half of the property move between six and four, moved essentially downslope or to the east?
Downslope and east, yes, both.
Downslope and east. So what we did in that iteration was to agree to make changes towards, essentially, I do remember our discussion revolved a lot around a landmark there that was the boulder. The right. large one that's on the north property line in the middle section of it there, mm-hmm. Where it trends to be east-northeast. Mm-hmm. And we were able to move the line after further discussion together between six and four so that we increased the amount of class six and decreased the amount of class four.
That's correct.
And have we done that a third time, or have yes. we done that yes. again?
We have done that again.
Okay. And can we please, go ahead.
Well, I was going to mention the kind of the boundary area within, you know, this line and the currently proposed line, you know, depending on how you measure it, it's between 16 to 20%. And like Mr. Lancaster, I don't know if he's still on the line, but he mentioned how he had to kind of make the contours move just the right way to get less than 16%. And that's part of my concern is that, you know, if you make it work one way, you could prove that. You could also prove it's 22%, you know, depending on where you put the lines on the contour. So I really prefer to stick to if they had natural locations like the trees or, you know, a natural hill slope force. And that's why I keep trying to propose that northern line is a natural slope of 22%. So anyway, but we've been working with them and trying to compromise, but I feel that there's hard evidence on the ground with trees and the natural slope, which indicates that it was probably more than 16% in a larger this area. And we're working with them trying to move it, but I don't feel it's necessarily all the way that they have presented it. Anyways.
And do we have a subsequent proposed map that delineates the classes?
Yeah, the final map.
That would be the final map. And can we yeah. bring that up, please? The one that the staff has recommended.
And what page was that on, Julie?
Double checking right now. Hold on okay. 1 second. There's so many pages. Page 7, I believe. Yes, page 7.
Good. Yes. All right. Thank you. And I do have the maps that Mr. Lancaster had produced, those images, the colored and then gray shaded ones in front of me here as well. And I can appreciate and see the differences in those contour movements from the predicted previous, sort of the forensic contour mapping that does have a lobe that's further that curved line north of the section line that cuts through the residence in the basement line wording that takes that more to the north. I do see that. And this represents now as I understand it, Marshall and Julie, correct me if I'm wrong, please, that this represents the third attempt to work together to produce a mutually agreeable set of boundaries between the class four and the class six that moves the class six again further east or down slope. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I know we've discussed in some of our previous hearings the conventions that are used both in the office and on the ground in the field to try and understand what's happened with slopes between the existing and the proposed, or what happened originally on the site and what has happened with development or with some additional development on it. And again, as I observed on site, this is a fairly developed site, and there's an awful lot going on, even as small as it is, no larger than it actually is, but there's an awful lot going on this site. And so is it fair to say that Marshall and Julie, and obviously if Sid's on, he certainly is welcome to weigh in, are the way that you've used, the tools that you've used to establish the slopes relative to the land capability boundary question are very well documented and used and accepted in the region. And I know the region is different than most of the rest of the world on this issue. But are the tools that you used in order to help make this line what it is today, are those tools that we have generally as an agency and a community of soil scientists used over time in terms of establishing a convention, so to speak?
Yes, this is used commonly and accepted standard for Tahoe and land capability challenge or other slope or stream measurements and all kinds of methods.
It's a standard practice, and that's been my experience as well. And I realize again that around the world, I'm not sure anywhere else does it quite like we do it, which, as you know, is a two-edged thing. And Mr. Lancaster's forensic look at our topography in this area, is that something that is typically used as one of our tools?
That's sort of a new method, but it has been used a couple times. When people try to tie it in to natural features, natural hill slope, something like an old tree or a boulder or something that predates the disturbance.
Okay. And it's your professional opinion that we do have some of those features present near the property boundary along the north between the residences to help guide that determination.
Yes.
To help inform it, I guess, is maybe a better way to say it.
Yeah, some of the trees are definitely older on the north boundary, predate the house.
Okay. All right, good. No, I appreciate that discussion. Is Mr. Davis with us today?
I don't believe so.
Okay. And I know he's been involved in many, 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 probably as many as any of us, a land capability challenge and land capability verification processes around the basin. He's one of our elder statesmen who's done this for a long, long time and provided an awful lot of and very helpful information along the way, both on the surface as well as in the soil pit, so to speak. I have carefully considered all of the information, including Mr. Angris's March 24th memorandum with the additional mapping that was provided from Mr. Lancaster in his office using the digital terrain model and the creation of the slopes. And have also put a great deal of thought into the decision for today. And I know we have looked at this as a group of people multiple times. This is as close and as detailed a look at a site that I can remember being involved with over many, many years of work here in the basin, and including looking at the facts on the ground, trying to look at what was there previously, and understanding what the soil types were. And in this case, we have one that's unnamed and quite a bit deeper than was originally mapped. And I do appreciate very much the teams working together in the spirit of cooperation to try and reach a compromise that's fair and reasonable to all involved. And it feels as if we have made quite a bit of movement of the line dividing the class 6 from the class 4 land capability areas on site. And so at this point, I will approve based on the information that's contained in our staff report, including the findings and the conclusions that they are reached, including the staff's recommendation that the map that's in front of us, which is the latest capability mapping that has been recommended by our staff, I'm going to approve that map as our land capability challenge for this item, for the EGOT land capability challenge. That brings us to item 6 in today's agenda, adjournment. And I will adjourn the meeting and thank everyone for their thoughtful and very helpful discussion and insight onto our items today. Thank you, everyone, for participating. We certainly appreciate it.